This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I love reading this. I love reading about the maniac of Gadara, and truly his life was changed when he met Jesus. He was never the same. And I love reading about this. And somebody, as you read through this, I'm going to point out some things to you tonight, but I want you to think about something. What were Jews doing with hogs? This swine herd of over 1,000 swine was behind the tombs in a hidden place. Somebody had a racket going on because Jews don't eat pork. Amen. I'll eat the bacon. Amen. Pass me the ham. Amen. However, Jews don't have anything. That's an unclean animal. What was a herd of over 1,000 swine doing here in Gadara? That's because somebody had an illegal business going on and somebody was eating pig in secret, right? Right? Somebody had something going. That answers my question on how in the world could you watch a man possessed with devils? They knew they didn't care about this man. Why? Because they knew if they kept the swine herd behind the tombs, and they let this man run crazy, cutting himself and breaking chains, and nobody could restrain him. They knew if they left him there, that no one would find out about the herd of swine. No one would find out about their secret sins. You understand? No one would go there because they were scared. What a horrible way to use people. They knew he was possessed with demons. But they would rather him stay possessed so that they could have their secret sin. And as you work your way through this passage, that answers my question on how in the world could the Lord heal the maniac of Gadara and then them come up and get scared and then ask him to leave. This is proof. I mean, the demons are all gone. He used to run around naked, cutting himself, and now he who is possessed with devils, I love that, sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And how in the world do you respond with, Jesus, get out of here? That's because he broke up their racket. He broke up their secret sin. He broke up that herd of swine that they had hiding back, their secret stash, per se. That's how he asked them to leave. I think this has got some sad points to it. Tonight, I wanted to bring you a few points on something probably, maybe you haven't seen it before, but can I just show you something? Watch this. Look at verse number 28. When he, the maniac, saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Well, that's not the maniac talking, that's a demon talking. And the word beseech is a court term. It means I beg you, and literally the word means I pray you. I'm making a specific request to you. I beg you, don't torment me. What was he talking about? He knows there's coming a day when God's going to take the demons. Some of them are chained in hell right now. Some of them run loose on the earth. And he knew that there's coming a day when Jesus is going to take all the damned and they're going to be thrown into hell. And so he's praying, Lord, I know what's coming, but please don't torment me right now. So he makes isn't that funny? A demon that's praying. Tonight's message is called, Let's Learn How to Pray from the Demons. Let's learn how to pray from the demons. Are you ready? That was verse 28. I beseech thee, torment me not. Look at the next time this word's used. Look at verse number 31. And they, the devils, besought. There's the word. They besought, they begged, they asked, they prayed him, Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There's their second prayer request. Watch this. And there were there, verse number 32, and there were there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they, the devils, the demons, besought or prayed or asked or begged him, Jesus, that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered or allowed them. So there's three times they prayed. Three times they end up praying. As far as, I think it's just amazing, these devils pray, and Jesus answers their prayer. Every one of them. I think that's unusual as far as, wow, these demons asked Jesus things and He specifically answered their prayer. Then, the outline tonight is very simple. The devils prayed, number one. Number two, Jesus answered. Jesus answered. You say, why is this unusual? Well, let me just, would you think with me just for a second? If God would answer the prayers of demons, then what would He answer from a son? What would He ask for? What would He do for someone that He died for, that accepted Him as their Savior? If He'd answer the prayers of a demon, of a devil, then what would He do for you? Well, God doesn't answer prayer. No, God doesn't answer prayer because you don't pray. We have not because we ask not. But the problem isn't God. The problem's us. And I'll ask you the question one more time. If He'd answer the prayers of demons, and He answered every one of them, if He'd answer the prayers of demons, wouldn't He answer your prayers? Wouldn't He answer your prayers? You see, I find in the Bible, you say, well, my spiritual condition is raunchy. Raunchier than the devil's? Well, I'm backslidden. More backslidden than the devil's? Well, I'm unworthy to pray. More unworthy than the devil's? No. I find God's interested in hearing me pray, and God's willing to go to extremes to get me to pray. I find in the Bible, in Psalm 65:2, one of the names of the Lord is, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that hearest prayer. That's one of His titles. O you who hears me when I pray. What a title. God says, I like to answer prayer. I don't think our problem is God doesn't answer my prayers. I think our problem is we don't pray. We don't pray. Dr. John R. Rice said, answered prayer should be a part of every Christian's life every day. Now, if I asked you to put on a piece of paper and don't put your name down, if I asked you tonight, when was the last time the Lord specifically answered one of your prayers? How long has it been? Don't put your name on it, but if I just said, when was the last time? Was it last week? Was it last month? I'm trying to encourage you tonight. I'm trying to encourage you to pray. We have a prayer-answering God. What do you learn from these devils that besought and begged and asked and prayed? Well, they prayed, number one, they prayed very reverently. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Most High? Thou Son of the Most High. They prayed very reverently. I believe when you come into God's presence, there shouldn't be any arrogance. There's not, I know God says, concerning the work of my hands, command me. But God isn't saying, get snobby with me. God is saying, ask me something. God says, I work when you pray. And when you don't pray, God says, I don't work. I don't work. There should always be a reverence when you pray. You should pray like, let me give you a way of thinking about it. If I'm coming into the presence of my King, then the first thing I do is I kneel. There's something very humbling about this position. I'm coming into the presence of my King. What do you do in your bedroom? Have you ever knelt like that? Have you ever gotten on your face before God? And that isn't something we do at church. That's something you do on your own. Have you ever got laid down and prayed like Elijah, like our Savior? Like many have prayed, they fell prostrate on the ground before their God. It's nothing that we're supposed to show anybody. But what is your position of prayer? I believe I can pray standing and God hears me. But when I come into the presence of my King and it's my prayer time, I kneel because He's my King. And I kneel before the throne. And sometimes I lay down. I wouldn't do that in front of anybody because it's not showtime. It's a time, that's my time with the Lord. They prayed reverently. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I also find that they prayed specifically. They asked three specific requests. Don't torment us. They prayed that. They prayed, Lord, send us into the swine. And Jesus did that. And then once again, that they would not be, the prayer to not be tormented was you could say it too, but they still asked it twice. You know, most people don't pray specifically because they don't want others to know that their prayers haven't been answered. Lord, bless our missionaries. Lord, bless these. You know, all the prayer cards. You know, Lord, bless these. Well, why don't you pray more specifically? Lord, help me today. Why don't you pray more specifically? How do you need help tomorrow on your job? What do you need? Lord, I need your help. I need your help with this. And Lord, I'm struggling with this. And Lord, I'm having a hard time, Lord, being a testimony to this person. Lord, please help me today to show them you and help me not to lose my temper. And Lord, ask God specifically what you need. What is it that you're needing? Not, Lord, please help me today. Well, I'm glad you can ask that. Ask God specifically. Ask God specifically. The demons did. The devils did. Ask God specifically. I'm asking God specifically for some things around here. I don't mind saying. I like this piano. I know it's Brother Campbell's mom's, but I'm praying God gives us a digital piano. I am. I'm asking the Lord. When I come in here and I pray, I don't think a wooden piano can handle it. It got up to 95 in here one day. The temperature goes up and down. And when you're in a building like this, it'll destroy this piano. Eventually, this piano will be destroyed. I don't want that. So, and I don't think it's anytime soon. I mean, does anybody know how long has this been here? I mean, like, how many years? Are we talking like 5, 10, or more like the whole time? Yes. The whole time. And I think what's helped this piano is because it's such thick wood. Normally, this piano's got some things in it, but I am asking the Lord with a temperature variance. I'm asking the Lord to give us a digital piano, and then I want to turn it around, you know, to help the pianist, you know, kind of see what's going on there. But we can't do that with this one, or we'll hide her, and you don't want to do that. But I'm specifically asking God for some things around here. And I would tell you of more of my prayer requests, but I thought that this one would not give you a heart attack. If I told you all of my prayer requests, you'd have a heart attack. Okay? But I am asking God specifically for some things for our church, for around here. And I want to see the Lord do it. And I am asking God. I'm not asking God for a state-of-the-art. I don't need the latest, greatest. But I'm asking the Lord to give us a good van. We need a good deal on a van. And we have $7,500 that we can spend on it. And then I'm asking the Lord to show me what He wants me to do with these two vans out here. And praise the Lord, I don't have to do anything tomorrow, but I'm asking the Lord specifically. I pray specifically. Do you pray specifically? Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" All things! Well, I don't pray for this because why don't you ask God for it? Why don't you pray and ask God? God says, His name is, "Oh, thou that hearest prayer." Why don't you ask the Lord for it? What is it that you need? Why don't you take your needs to God instead of figuring, how much more can I put on the credit card? That's the way the average American lives. Well, why don't you take those needs to God? Lord, please, if you want me to have it, Lord, I'm asking you for this. How shall He not with Him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Can I remind you of something, Christian? Listen closely. John 14, verse 14 says, "If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." What is praying in the name of Jesus? It's asking for something that Jesus Himself would ask for and wouldn't mind you having. So don't pray a stupid prayer. You know what I mean? If you pray in Jesus' name, if you're praying it, that is something He would ask for. That is something He would not mind you having. Amen? So, if you pray it in His name, do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. I will do it. The demons prayed specifically. I find they prayed fervently. I find they prayed specifically and to the point. I also find they prayed fervently. I love this verse, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their troubles." You know, it says they cried out to Him. The demons cried out to the Lord. Well, the righteous cry. If I just ask you a question tonight, it's between you and the Lord. But when was the last time you took your Bible and in your prayer time you wept to the Lord and gave Him your needs? I think if we don't start crying when we pray soon, we're going to have more to cry about. But we're too busy and too distracted. We got too much. And most people, not all, most feel awkward. Like, you know the minute that we took tonight to examine ourselves when there wasn't anything going on? Most don't like that. Where's the noise? Don't leave me alone. I need a TV on. I need a radio. I need an app on my phone. Don't leave me in total silence. Just me and God. That's how come during prayer time, some don't shut their eyes. They do this. Because the last person they want to be alone with is God. And it's not a prayer time. It's a peak time. Got to check my phone. Got to do this. If we don't start getting to the point where we start taking things that's happening in America seriously enough, we're going to have a lot more to cry about. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth him and delivereth him out of all his troubles. Glory to God. The righteous cry. When was the last time you shed a tear while you were praying? When was the last time you wept for America? Brother Bell sent me a link. They just sentenced a pastor to jail in Vermont for 1 year. 1 year in jail for not doing a homosexual marriage. It's coming. You don't see the tidal wave? Oh, everything's going to be fine. There's nothing left to do but pray. There's nothing left to do but ask God specifically. I'm telling you, Christian, when was the last time you prayed and you wept? They cried out unto the Lord. I find also that they prayed scripturally. In verse number 28, they knew prophecy. They knew that their time is coming and that they didn't want to be cast into the deep or into the lake of fire. They know where they're going. They prayed scripturally or they prayed on Bible ground. I've called it prayer ground. Have you ever taken... Watch this. Let me show you something tonight. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 8. Watch this. I'd like us to leave tonight thinking lessons that praying demons taught us or lessons... I don't suggest you tell this sermon title to everybody. Our pastor taught us how to pray like a devil. Probably that'll get misrepresented somewhere. All right. Look at Romans. I do want you thinking about prayer tonight. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Watch this. Look at verse 27. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's like every time you go to pray, you're praying one thing, but the Holy Spirit is praying to God for you. Oh God, give me a room full of gold and a Maserati, and Lord, give me and the Holy Spirit saying, no Lord, what He means is this. He needs this. And the Holy Spirit takes your prayer and He prays according to the will of God. So when you do pray a stupid prayer, amen, when you do pray dumb, the Holy Spirit goes, no, Father. He intercepts or He intercedes for you. He takes that prayer. He goes, no, Father. He didn't mean that. What He meant was, and then He prays for us according to the will of God. And do you know how that's how come many Christians don't see their answer to prayer? They're praying for this. Oh, God, give me this. Oh, God. And the Holy Spirit goes, no, Father. What He meant was, He needs this. And He prays and God answers because it's according to His will. The only problem is the Christian's looking over here. Lord, please give this to me. Lord, please give this to me. And it never appears. And so, see, God doesn't answer prayer. And God did answer the prayer, but they're not looking over here because they're not interested in the will of God. If you could, if you could pray according to the will of God, it would take you doing what? It would take you listening. Do you ever, when you pray, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Whatever, however it goes. If you aren't careful, you chant your prayers, you recite your prayers, you become mechanical. Have you ever taken time when it's time to ask God? Have you ever just hushed and listened? And have you ever asked the Lord to help you make out your prayer list? Lord, what should I be praying for? And you listen to what He's telling you. I call it listening before you pray. You believe He speaks to your heart, right? He's led you before. Well, when you get down on your knees, could you not, Lord, please show me what You want me to pray for so I can pray in Your will. And then you let God help you, the Holy Spirit, make out your prayer list. Then you're not praying for something over here and the Holy Spirit isn't saying, Lord, He didn't mean that. What He meant was, intercepts it, changes it to a prayer request for the will of God, and then gives it to the Father. You'd see a lot more of your prayers answered if your prayer time, if you'd slow down and hush and listen to what God is telling you. Lord, what do You want me to pray for? And you believe, you yield to the Holy Spirit, and then whatever He brings to your mind, you start writing it down, and then you start praying. Now you're praying in the will of God. Now you're praying in the will of God. But to do that, you have to listen. I wish more Christians would slow down. I know Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16 says, He, the Lord, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. I told you tonight, what amazes God is that people aren't praying. I already told you, God says, if you don't pray, I don't work. I work when you pray. I need you, I work through you. And God didn't have to put us in the equation. God didn't have to put us, sinner plus soul winner equals an opportunity for somebody to get saved. But God put it in there. God could have given the gospel over a loudspeaker every hour around the globe and we'd never have to go soul winning. Don't worry, at the top of the hour, God's going to give the gospel again. It doesn't work that way. He put us in the equation. Could God says when it comes to prayer, God says, I work in people's lives when you pray. And when you don't pray, I don't work. And that's how come Isaiah says, he wondered, nobody's praying. I could handle that, I could do that, I could take care of that, I could work here, I can do this, but nobody's praying. He wondered. He was shocked. Nobody's asking me anything. I could take care of so many things, but Christians don't pray. They don't pray. They don't ask God things. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer would be listening. Doesn't it say in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Take a time and listen before you pray. Now also, these devils prayed earnestly. I find they fell down. I've talked to you about the positions of prayer. They prayed in faith. They really believed that God was going to answer their prayers. And the Lord did. And of course, you know, this is where, just a couple weeks ago, I mentioned, you know, this is the story. What's the only thing in the Bible you find running towards the beach as soon as those pigs got the demons in them? They were grabbing their suntan lotion and their towels and wee. They were running for the beach. The only thing in the Bible that ever runs for the beach is demon-possessed pigs. Amen? Let's move on. This is supposed to be on prayer. Amen. So, let's keep it on prayer. They prayed collectively. There's one last verse I'd like you to look at tonight. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Ready? Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I don't believe everything is supposed to be a group prayer meeting, but there is something that happens when Christians get together to pray. And they're supposed to, in touching and agreeing, I don't have a problem holding hands when we pray, you know, and I like doing that at our family table. And I don't think that we have to do that in church. That's not touching and agreeing is not what it's talking about. It's not talking about here, we have to hold hands so God will answer our prayer. No, Leroy, that's not what that means. Touching and agreeing means this. Someone who will take your prayer request and empathize with you and care about it like you do. Do you remember when Daniel got, the king said, all the wise men are going to die tomorrow. And Daniel said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we got to pray and ask God. And they prayed through the night. Every once in a while, it's good to go to another Christian brother or a Christian sister, and it's time to say, hey, we need to pray and touch and agree. And it's not talking about holding hands. It's talking about, I need you to pray with this thing with fervency like I'm getting ready to pray. And what happened that night? God showed Daniel why. God answered their prayers. If any two of you shall touch and agree, God says, then the thing that they ask, all right, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's why verse number 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Could I just tell you something tonight? Gospel Light Baptist Church, that's not a church verse. That's a prayer verse. You know how many people I've heard justify? Well, we're having church tonight because where two or three are gathered together, we can have church at the house, roadside Baptist church, you pull the car over and you put in a preaching CD and where two or three... I've heard so many people justify and slap church in the name of that verse, that's false doctrine. I believe that hurts us. I believe that hurts the cause of Christ. That's not a church verse. That is a prayer verse. Where two or three are gathered and praying, God says, I'm there and I'm listening. What's that mean? When you take... You know how hard it is to get somebody to care about your prayer request like you do? It's hard to touch and agree. And if you can find it, God says, I like that when Christians agree. When I'll take your burden and make it mine, and I'll take your burden and make it mine. That's touching and agreeing. That's where two or three. But that it isn't talking about tonight. I don't know how many people are here, but it isn't talking about, wow, Jesus must be here because more than three are here. That's garbage. Anyways, do not use that verse. I just don't like watching it used to slap church. It is a prayer verse, not a church verse. Finally, they prayed in the will of God. They knew what God thought about swine. So they said, Lord, you don't like pigs, so send us into the pigs. and God did. Can I just give you one more lesson about the devils tonight? In that same passage in verse number 37, I'll read it to you. Just listen. It says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and he returned back again. There's one other person that God answered the prayer to. He answered the devil's prayers and he answered the prayer of the fools. Lord, leave us. Is that what your prayer request is? Yes, leave us. Get out of here. Prayer answered. And he left. He answered the devil's prayers. He answered the fool's prayers. Let me ask you one more time tonight. Christian, if God would answer the prayers of a devil, what would He do for you? What would He do for you? If I asked you, what are you praying for right now? What are you asking God for? What's on your prayer list? If you don't have one, I hope tonight's sermon and truth will help you get one. If He'd answer the prayers of devils, what would He do for you? What would He do for you? Let's pray. Father, thank You again. O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. You're the only one. So Father, tonight, as a needy people, please, where we haven't prayed, I'm sorry. Lord, that's our fault. That's not Yours. I pray, please,